It's on this whole notion of prayer that Paul was writing of Christ. Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, verse 25. We'll read those first two verses once and again. Luke 14. Got it? Amen. Large crowds were traveling along with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Amen. 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 I wonder if you have decided to follow Jesus. I wonder if you are, or if I am, a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. I wonder if we really love the Lord as we say we do. Well, no matter where you are on that continuum of loving the Lord, of being his disciple, we can go deeper, we can go further, and we can learn to love him all the more, and we can learn to take others along with us. That's what we want to do. And what genuine disciples of Jesus do is we make critical choices. We make some choices. Life is filled with choices that we must make. But we make choices because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Imagine with me for a moment, being in a situation where you're dating somebody and you seem to be falling in love. Some of us have been there. And as part of getting to know one another, you inform that special somebody that when you get married, you're going to receive a significant amount of money. You're going to get this trust fund. The person who you're falling in love with responds, once you tell them this, they respond, "Oh, really? Well, it doesn't make a difference to me whether you're rich or poor. I love you for who you are, just like you are." But suppose just before the wedding you learned that you weren't going to get that trust fund. When you relayed the message to the one you love and to the one who said that he or she loves you, to your spouse-to-be, he or she becomes so disappointed that they call the wedding off. How would you feel? What would you tell that person? What would you say? Well, I know what I would say. You would start to say, "You know what? I thought you loved me for me. You never really loved me for me. You only wanted me because of what you thought you could get from me." Well, you and I, in a sense, make that critical choice about our relationship with Jesus Christ. How we respond to him determines whether we really, really do love him, whether we really are his disciple as is described in the Word of God. And those critical choices that we make along our journey really helps us to see where we really are in our relationship with him. Critical choices, we talked about it last week. We defined it a little bit, and really this first point is really review. With a little more at it this week, but I thought it important just to go over it and then add one more point and pick up next time. But we said critical choices are life-changing decisions that we make. They're life-changing decisions that we make, which make an eternal difference for the kingdom of God in our lives and in the lives of people in our circle of influence and beyond. We've all made choices. We've made some good choices. We've made some bad choices. I've made some doozy bad choices in my life. But as we grow in Christ, what we want to be able to do is to make choices on the basis of our relationship with Him that make a difference in us and through us and in the lives of those who are in our circle of influence and beyond. We mentioned last week and again this week that the first critical choice that we must make is that we're not going to just go along for the joyride. We're not just going along for a joyride. Jesus told the crowds, He said, come to me, come to me. And when He was talking to them and when He said, come to me, and when He's talking to us about come to me, it is a call to be His disciple. It's a call to salvation. It's a call to a lifelong relationship with Him. And that key word, come, come, it's a verb. It's an action word. It requires a decision to be made. When you talk about come, it means you move into a personal relationship with Jesus. When Jesus says come, He's talking about moving into, establishing a personal relationship with Him on the basis of what He's done for us. What He's done for us. You've thought about it, and you've made that choice. You've thought about it. And you've made that decision to answer His call. But what's important is that the choice couldn't be made unless you were given a choice. The reason we have a choice to come to Jesus is because He gives us that choice. And that's the other side of us coming, is that Jesus acts upon us before we are able to act towards Him. You don't love Jesus first. He loved you first. You don't come to Him because you got all these emotions towards Jesus and you just love Him. No, coming to Him is a response to His loving us. We are acted upon first, and then we act in response to Him. He says, come. He says, I've given my life for you. Now you must choose whether you want to submit your life to me. That's what discipleship is. It's what He does for you first, and then us responding to that love to Him. You know, some people say, and this is on the side, some people say, I was seeking after God. And that is true, but we don't think about the fact that He was seeking after us first. Even in Romans, as I think about it, Romans 3 said there's no one who seeks after God. There's no one righteous. There's no not one. So at the core of our being, at the core of our being, we are selfish, self-centered people who don't think about God. We don't like that, do we? No, I don't. I don't like to say that about myself, but that's the reality of the Word of God. Is that at the core of our being, we don't love God. He loves us first, and He calls us into a relationship with Him. And, you know, unless we really come to that truth, that reality, that truth of Scripture, you know, we really don't have true discipleship, being true disciples. We really don't understand what the love of God is all about, that it is, and following Him and having a relationship with Him is all about. It's the fact that we really don't love God in and of ourselves, that He loved us first, that we respond to His love for us, and that we're sinners who are saved by grace. And that we are, apart from what He's done for us, we're far away from Him. That's the conclusion we have to come to in and of ourselves as we really understand what being a disciple is all about. We come because He speaks to us with that voice of a caring shepherd and says, come to me, come to me. and I'll give you rest. And we come because we hear his voice of mercy. His mercy. He knows we're sinners. He knows we need forgiveness. And because of that, Jesus Christ came. He knows we're laden down with sin. We don't always know that. We don't always recognize that. We don't always acknowledge that, but he does. He sees us just like we are, and he says, come, and I'll cast your sin into the sea of forgetfulness. We come because he calls. Come is a two-sided coin. Jesus calling in our response to a call, his call. Coming to Jesus is about moving into that relationship on the basis of his terms, not our terms. And really, that's what Jesus is laying down here with this crowd who was just going along for the joyride. And he says, no, you come to me. You come to me on my term for my purposes and for my glory. And this is what he's doing. He's calling them into a relationship with him. He says, come. And one of the things I might have mentioned last week is this, that there's a difference in coming to Jesus for relationship and coming for the temporal blessings that we think we can get from him. There's a big difference. When he is talking about coming, he's talking about coming into relationship with him. When we talk about people, inviting people to come, we're thinking about we're inviting them into relationship with Jesus Christ. Because there's a difference in coming to church and coming to Jesus. There's a big difference in coming to church and coming. People come to church for many different reasons. Socialize with people. You like the choir. You like the crowd. Things of that sort. That's why people come, and that's why some people don't come. Because you don't have all of the glitz and glitter. See, the issue is not whether we come to church, but what we come to church for. Do you come to church because you've come to Jesus and have a relationship with him, and we've come to worship him with like-minded disciples? You know, sitting here today right in front of me, there may very well be people who have not really come to Jesus. Well, he's calling. He's saying, come. If anybody hears his voice, come. We want people to come. We want people to hear. It's okay if rank pagans come. With most people. You know, some people have a problem with sinners coming to church. Can I say that? Say that on the side. But the Lord doesn't. You know, how can they hear unless somebody tells them? And they don't have to come here or come to some other building in order to hear. But you get the point. We want people to come. The Lord wants people to hear. He wants them to be able to respond, to make an informed decision about him. Disciples are distinguished from the crowd because they choose to come to Jesus and not merely go along for the perks. Not merely going along for the perks. What are the perks? Well, again, the perks are those things that we think we can get from Jesus by way of temporal blessings. And I thought about this, that, you know, when we're talking to people, you're talking to people about the Lord, you're having those conversations out there in the street or with people who know the Lord, or they may be just coming along in the Lord, don't water down the gospel when talking with people about Jesus. Don't make promises that he doesn't clearly make in his word. Don't tell people that Jesus will fix all their problems. Now, can he fix all their problems? He can. But does he solve every problem that we have on this side of heaven. Let's think about it in the real. He really doesn't. Don't tell people that Jesus will heal all their sicknesses on this side of heaven, because he will heal all of our sicknesses, but it may not be until we get to the other side. Don't promise people that Jesus will make them millionaires if they come to him. I don't read the gospel like that or scripture like that. Not when Jesus, he said, come. He said, come. Jesus states that being a disciple was about coming to him. And again, I emphasize that, and I emphasize it again this week. It's not about coming to church. It's not about a denomination. It's not first about being involved in ministry. All of that is secondary. It's about coming to him. And note that when we talk about the crowds here and elsewhere, we want to note that Jesus did not give the crowd of people superficial reasons for following him. Didn't just promise them the perks. And again, he didn't say, come to me and I'll give you health and wealth. Because we know we can have problems, and we know that everybody that's a follower of Christ doesn't get rich. And we know that's the truth. He didn't say, come to me and I'll give you a problem-free life. He didn't say that. That's not the Christian life. It's not a problem-free life. I've probably developed more problems after coming to Christ than before. But I have somebody that can help me through them, help me handle them better than my BC days. And as I'm striving to grow up more in him. And Jesus didn't say, come to me and I'll make you powerful and famous. He didn't say that to people. No, in fact, he called us to be servants. The first critical choice that we make in being a genuine disciple is that we don't just go along for the joyride. It's not just a feel-good experience. No, but the second critical choice in being a genuine disciple is that we choose to have an uninhibited love for Jesus. An uninhibited love for Jesus. When something's uninhibited, that means there's nothing in the way. There's nothing standing in the way. That's why Jesus said in verse 26, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his mama and his daddy and his children. And again, like we said last week when we first read that, that kind of takes us aback, doesn't it? Kind of wonder, well, Jesus saying hate. Well, I know I just can't hate my mom. I can't hate my mom. I love my mom. Love my children. Love my wife. Love my grands. And Jesus, you talking about hating them? Well, Jesus calls us to come to him and be his disciples. He gives some conditions for being disciples. You know, there are conditions in the Christian life. There are expectations that God has on your life if you're a follower of Christ. Three times in this passage itself, this phrase is used. He says, if this doesn't happen, then you cannot be my disciple. If you can't hate like this, you can't be my disciple. If you can't take up your cross, you can't be my disciple. If you can't give up everything for me, you can't be my disciple. There are conditions in the Christian life. There are expectations from him in being a disciple. Jesus focuses on people moving out of the crowd and moving into a relationship with them that caused them to live up to certain expectations with his help. He uses this word here. He says, you cannot be my disciple. My disciple. Do we have any disciples of Jesus in the house? Well, that word disciple, it notes this, and I'm quoting. And I thought it was good because there are different ways you can say this, but I resonate with this. First, when you talk about a person being a disciple, when you read scripture, you look at the men who Jesus called. They were men and women who attached themselves to Jesus as their master. Jesus was their master. He was their Lord. But disciple also always implies this, the existence of a personal attachment which shapes, and this is key, it shapes the whole life of the one who is described as a disciple, and which in its particularity leaves no doubt as to who is deploying the formative power. Who is shaping your life? Who is the person that's making the greatest difference, the most significance in your life? Who is the one that we are attached to, closest to, and shapes our whole life? Jesus says, that should be me. Not you. He said, it shouldn't be your father. It shouldn't be your mother. It shouldn't be your wife. Shouldn't be your children, your brothers and sisters. And guess what? It shouldn't even be you. I should have more impact on your life than anybody else. See, being a disciple is first and foremost about relationship. That relationship with Jesus Christ. About putting Jesus above everybody else. Jesus is the one who is, as our definition said there, Jesus is the one who is deploying the formative power in the lives of those who come to him. It's Jesus who's putting it out there. See, Jesus uses a strong statement to drive this point home. He said, if you do not hate, you cannot be my disciple. How could Jesus place such a demand on his followers, when elsewhere in scripture he tells us to love one another? Doesn't he do that? Some of you have read scripture and he said that. He said, love one another. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, honor your father and your mother. And then he comes along here and he says, hate. Well, hatred here is not meant in the sense of the term that might first come to mind, that we feel an intense and passionate dislike for those that we are obligated to love. There might be some people in here who have some people in your circles that you really hate. Well, let me change that. You have a great dislike for them. But it doesn't mean here that you loathe the person, that you detest the person, that you despise the person. It doesn't mean that you get as far away from that person as you can. Doesn't mean that. What Jesus is doing here is that he's using extreme exaggeration. It's called hyperbole. He's using that to drive home his point. to drive home his point. You know, and you understand what this is because you told somebody, you know, I told you that 1,000 times. I've said that to you 1,000,000 times. You don't really mean you said it 1,000,000 times. You mean that you said it over and over again, and you say it like that to make the point. Jesus is saying it like this to make the point. He's getting the attention of the crowd to make them think deeply and critically about what it means to follow him. He uses the most extreme statement that he could to touch the minds and hearts and the very souls of the crowd. Because discipleship is about relationship. And he knew that he would get a hearing. He would get a hearing. And note that Jesus forces the crowd to think about their relationship with him in comparison with their relationship with people who would be closest to them. Your father, your mother, your wives, your children. And he makes this outrageous statement. If anyone comes to me and does not hate any of these people. He says, look, I want you to know their conditions. There are conditions when you come to me. And I am to be supreme. You come to me on the condition that no one else is more important to you than me. In Matthew 10:37, Jesus said this that brings some clarity to it. He said, if he who loves father or mother more than me, see that? He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So what is Jesus doing? Again, he's putting it out there. He's saying, am I supreme in your life? And am I the most important person in your life? By comparison, Jesus is saying that the love that my disciples have for me can look as though they hate their mamas and their daddies and their spouses and their children. The choices they make in life makes it seem as though they hate those that they're closest to. The things they do and the things they believe that are contrary to these people because of their relationship with me can make it seem as though they care little about what they others think. And what he's saying, as I think about it, is that the choice that we must make in coming to him as disciples is that we have an unfiltered allegiance to Jesus. When you talk about it being unfiltered, it means that my love for Jesus is not modified by what I think or by what others think. And what I do in my life is not changed. If Jesus says this, I'm going to do this regardless of what this person says or regardless of what I think or how I feel. When we said we've decided to follow Jesus, it means that our devotion to him first and foremost, and everything and everyone else that threatens to pull us away from him and his way is secondary. In fact, when I'm called upon to make certain choices for Jesus, I'm not going to filter those choices through the grid of what other people think if I know that that's coming from Christ. You see, disciples are haters. You heard that. Don't be a hater. Well, Jesus said, yes, be a hater. In the sense that we're talking about here. Where he's not talking about literally hating people, where he's talking about that there's to be nobody in your life that you are in allegiance with or to than me. I'm the most important person. Disciples are haters. They hate what their parents want for them for their lives if it's not what Jesus wants. Jesus tells you to live a certain way, children, and your parents are saying no, there's choices to be made. They hate what their spouses want for them or want them to do or think if it's not what Jesus wants. Haters hate the things that their children do and believe if it's not what Jesus wants for their lives. You got a boyfriend, a girlfriend? When your friend boy or friend girl they want to hook up with you? And says to you, if you love me, you would. And you're a disciple of Christ, you say. Who do you choose? Jesus says, if you don't hate what that person is asking you to do, the situation they're asking you to live in, Jesus said, there is absolutely no way that you can be my disciple. Because my disciple chooses me. And I said, you're not supposed to live like that because you're in relationship with me. You know, if Yeah, I got to say this about us too. They hate what they do themselves. What we believe, if it's contrary to what Jesus desires for my life. You know, if a person doesn't wrestle, think about this with me. Whether you believe it or not, just think about it with me. If a person doesn't wrestle with these decisions, the clash between Christ and personal preference, you understand what I'm saying? I want to live my life like this. I'm feeling this right now. This is my situation, so therefore I need to do this right now. And I haven't even consulted God. But then when I consult him, I see that, no, that's not right. And I don't wrestle with that. Then 2 Corinthians 13 says this, examine yourself. Examine yourself to see whether you are really in the faith. It says test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? See, there's a wrestling going on. There's a clash that takes place in our minds because Jesus calls us away from this crowd mentality. Just do what you think, do what you feel, do what's best for you regardless of what the Word of God says. There's a clash that takes place, a wrestling in our minds and hearts if we're truly on the road of being a disciple of Christ. Key point is this, you cannot be a disciple of Jesus if you haven't made the critical decision that Jesus simply is the most important person in your life. He's Lord of my life, and it's not my mom, it's not my dad, it's not my teachers, it's not my husband, not my wife, not my boyfriend, not even myself, not my emotions, not my desires, not my situation, which can cause you to make decisions that are contrary to what God would have you or be waiting on him. No, when you're a disciple, you're faced with that choice. and you grow in loving him above all else. Above all else. How do you know? How do you know if you have an uninhibited love for Jesus? The scripture says you obey him. That's too simple. Well, obedience is not simple. You know why obedience is not simple? Because we have been given this thing called free will. We have the freedom to choose. We are not robots, as I say many times. God will let you choose to do whatever you choose to do. He does not put anybody in a chokehold. He does not force you. God wants us responding to him out of love for him and recognizing his love for us. That's real. Being a real disciple is that you obey him. Yes, you obey him because you're growing in loving him. You choose to do what he wants done with the help of the Holy Spirit because he loved you and you recognize that he loves you, that he died for you, that he gave his life for you, and that he's able to help you in your life. In John 14:23, says Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, just to give a verse for, we know we're his disciples if we obey him. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will do what? He will obey my teaching. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Obedience is key in checking ourselves and seeing if we're in the faith. And again, obeying because of Jesus. You know, not just out of duty, but out of love for him. So when you're talking about someone being a follower of Christ, you're talking about someone who says, I choose to do this because I love Jesus and Jesus loves me. I choose not to go this way. I choose not to be involved in this because I love Jesus. You may want to do it, but you say no. You make that critical choice and you say no, I love Jesus. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my teaching. And I say this, you can't obey the teaching of Jesus if you don't know the teaching of Jesus. You got to know it. You know, and I think that's why we can be weak and frail and not really obey Jesus because we don't know. And the reason we don't know is because we're ignorant of the word. And the reason we're ignorant of the word is because we don't pick it up and read it. You can't know the teaching of Jesus if you don't read the teaching of Jesus in the Bible. You just have to. You can't just rely on what you hear on Sunday or through your radio pastor or things of that sort. You got to read it for yourself. You got to study it for yourself. You got to listen to what Jesus is saying to you. Because if you're serious about being a disciple of Jesus, you are going to get in his word, so that his word can get in you. And I want to ask you, how serious are you about being a disciple of Christ? Because prayer and the word is how you spend time with him. You know, if I don't spend time with Sister Banks, I don't care how much I say I love her. She ain't hearing that. Love is demonstrative. You show it. It's an action word. So I have to speak her love language. And I do know what her love language is. And I do try to speak it as often as I can. It's my second language. You know, you have English as a second language and stuff like that. Well, I have my love language. And if she don't speak my love language, I feel that. I really do. Well, We show that we love Jesus by coming to him, by getting into his word, by talking to him, communicating with him. So if you want to grow up in being a disciple of Christ, if you want to obey him, and if you want to get more and more to this point where he says, if anybody comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brothers and his sisters, if you want to grow in that ability to say, no, I love you, but this is what Jesus said. You got to get into his word, and his word will inform you. His word is powerful, it's rich, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll help you to make those decisions, but if you aren't in it, you're just depending on you. You're not depending on the word of God. We got to get into the word of God so it can get in us, so that we can make those decisions when we're faced with them, because that's the litmus test of whether you're really a disciple of Christ. It's what you do in those critical moments of your life as to whether you choose Christ or whether you choose yourself or someone else. How do you know if you are on the road of being a genuine disciple of Jesus? When faced with decisions, do you choose what Jesus would want you to do? Or do you choose what you or someone else wants you to do? That's pretty simple, isn't it? How do you know if you're on the road of being a disciple? Jesus said if you don't do some hating, then there's no way you can be my disciple. So when you're faced with those decisions, when others pull on you, when others want you to do things that are contrary to the word of God, you know whether you're really on the road of discipleship. Now, you may have messed up in the past. There may have been some things that you know now, because as I think about it, I say, Lord, I dropped the ball. I made some decisions where I know it was just all about me. It was all about me, or all about pleasing somebody else rather than pleasing my Lord. So I repent, and I say, Lord, help me to grow in that, because you are Lord of my life. And help me to make those decisions that demonstrate that it's you over anybody else in my life. Following Jesus demands a denial of self, as Jesus makes it clear in this verse. It's a denial of self, and at times a denial of everybody else. Discipleship does not consist merely in the benefits received from Christ's church, but in the demand that Jesus makes on the life of us as disciples. It requires total allegiance to him and a total denial of self, of our self-interest and our pursuits that will make Jesus secondary in one's life. Where are you? I ask the question of myself as well. Where am I? Where are we on this journey of getting to that point? Or more and more that we understand that Jesus says, compare. Do you love this person, including yourself, more than me? Or am I supreme in your life? Jesus says more. We'll talk about that more later. But today and this week, we'll be challenged with that as to whether Jesus is supreme or whether we or someone else is supreme in our lives. Won't you bow with me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we're thankful. Lord, I'm thankful for your patience. Thank you that you've called us into this relationship with you. Lord, because you loved us so much. You've given us so much, and that so much is really you. You've given yourself. And you've called us to give so much. And that would be ourselves to you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand what you're saying. And as we go through life, as we interact with people, as we're faced with decisions, choices that we would have to make, I pray that you would help us to choose you. Help us to be able to think through it and not act merely on the basis of our emotions, on the basis of our situation, our circumstances, which often sometimes cause us to make irrational decisions. Decisions that may solve the problem right now, it seems, but make more problems down the line. Lord, would you help us? Help us to believe that you're able, truly able, to help us, to guide us, direct us, and to provide what we need. Thank you for making us your disciples. Thank you for allowing us to be attached to you. Help us to live in that, to walk in that, to think in that. And then, Lord, help us as we journey with other people to help them to walk in that way too. And Lord, if there's anyone who is not attached to you, who hasn't given themselves to you, who hasn't recognized and accepted the fact that you died, Lord Jesus, on the cross for our sins, and that you rose again, may today be the day of salvation. May that person say, Lord, I need you. I know I'm a sinner, and I accept your forgiveness because you died for me. And you rose that I might be saved. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Is there someone here today who maybe you've never trusted Christ? Maybe you never made that initial commitment to give your life to Christ. The Bible says that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. You can come if you prayed that prayer or anything like it. You say, I give my life to Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Man, woman, boy, or girl, you can come.
I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to be one of his disciples. I want to walk in the newness of life. So let me be a follower of Christ. What do I have to do? What do I have to say? How do I have to walk each and every day? Tell me, what does it cost if I carry the cross? So let me be a follower of Christ.
Amen. Amen, church. Every first Sunday of the month, we gather together as followers of Christ, as those who have come.